flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on!
Dub Nation, it's Quinton Post. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, QP. Let's not mess around. Let's do this right away. I know what y'all waiting for. Okay?
Give me the keyword.
It's keyword time. Keyword time. Want to play knockout with us? You want to have that moment? You want to stand at center court at Chase Center, look around. And then right as you grab one of the basketballs out of our rack, you can head right over there and pretend you are winning a game for the Warriors with a pull-up three, only to have Guru come out of nowhere and swat your shot.
No. Honestly, one of the coolest parts about this, I mean, it's obvious, but like shooting the actual NBA game regulation basketball
is crazy, man. There are moments where it feels like a medicine ball, for crying out loud. But when that first one goes in, and you're like, I just scored at Chase Center.
Such a sweet feeling.
It's fun. So here we go, okay? Today's key word is hoop. That's it. The key word is hoop. So now you've got the word. And sometime in the next 25 minutes, you are going to hear, don't call now. You're going to hear this sounder.
Oh, give him a sec.
Lucas. Talk about choking on the open net. Don't call now.
The next time you hear that sounder,
hopefully there'll be no breaking news between now and then, because if there is, you're going to hear the sounder. But anyway, when you hear the sounder again, that's your cue to call the contest line.
Everyone is calling now.
Stop calling. You're all wrong. And I'm going to jot all your names down and disqualify you. Stop calling. Man, y'all are like dogs. You're just like, treat? Did someone say treat? Chill. Not now.
Soon.
Okay? You've got the keyword. The keyword is hoop. And the contest line is 415-523-4652. Apparently, some of you already know that.
A lot of other people were calling our normal call-in line, too.
Some of you are calling 888-957-9570, and that really gets me upset.
Oh, you could call, but you just aren't going to win that way.
Maybe they all wanted to take a shot at Mark Grandy for all of his takes this week. Who knows?
Maybe.
Anyway, the word is hoop. The contest line is 415-523-4652. The next time you hear those horns, you're ready to go. Save the number, save the word. 415-523-4652, and the word is hoop. Because when you hear that sounder again, the first person to call in, get answered, and correctly give the key word, you are winner number 9 on your way into the knockout tournament. So please keep listening. It is coming very, very soon. Okay? All right.
Got it.
That is your assignment, and I know that all of you are going to fail because we have turned our lines off, and we know that a bunch of you are calling right now, and the reason that you're getting busy signal is because we have turned the lines off because you are all misbehaving. Okay? Okay?
Just keep listening. You'll be fine.
Take it from someone with 3 kids, okay? When my son looked at me last week, yes, Dad, I brushed my teeth. Then why is your toothbrush bone dry?
you're like the official Sean Hockley in that Eagles Commanders game from over the weekend. Yes. If this behavior continues,
can we play that again? I want to hear Sean Hockley wag that finger at the Washington Commanders. If this behavior continues, we are canceling the knockout tournament.
Whoa!
If this continues, if you people, you keep this crap up, we're canceling the whole thing. We're going home, and you are going to write on a piece of paper 100 times, I will not call before the sounder. I will not call before the sounder. Play it, Lucas.
Mike, how close can they put this ball to the goal line at this point?
Well, interestingly enough, you got a situation here. If these are deliberate, and you heard Sean Hockley say that it could lead to an unsportsmanlike conduct call, it could also lead to awarding a score. If it happens multiple times like this, we'll hear what Sean has to say.
Encroachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
Mike, that's unbelievable.
Oh, gosh, it is, other than giving him the business, I think it is one of my top 2 favorite things a referee has ever said. Oh my gosh. If this type of behavior happens again, oh my God, he threatened them. He threatened them right in the middle of the field. So, same thing for all you people calling right now. This keeps up, we're going to jot your numbers down. We are going to come to your house and we're going to wag our fingers directly in your face. So, stop it. But one of you is going to win your way in coming up here real soon. So, hey, what about this? What about this? And this you can call, but you have to call the regular line, and then you talk on the radio, not win anything. All you win is a beautiful conversation with 2 people named Mark. One of them is spelled correctly. Anyway.
And one of them, yeah.
888-957-9570. Take your pick. But if I threw out these narratives, because I do think we're going through it a little bit right now, I also think we deserve it. And here's what I mean by that. Hey, Bay Area sports fan, it's been a decade of fat and happy. Now, if you're a huge 49er fan, that might make you mad.
Decade and a half.
Yeah, it's been a decade and a half of fat and happy. I would argue sometimes a little unappreciative. Where you just kick your feet up at the beginning of the year and you're like, so, are we going to be good or really good? And I know the Giants have had some annoying seasons. The 49ers have had injury-riddled seasons, major disappointment at the end of Super Bowls. But the 49ers have been to the Super Bowl. If you go decade and a half, they've been to the Super Bowl 3 times. The Warriors have 4 rings. The Giants have 3 rings. Holy crap. And now we're sitting here in 2025 going, the Warriors are double-digit underdogs in their own building. They're 500. The 49ers went 6-11 and have a good draft pick. And the San Francisco Giants are watching the Dodgers literally clown the entire sport. So, A, And I'll ask you this. How you feeling?
Not great.
What word would you use?
Frustrated.
Okay.
Frustrated.
I bet that's the number one answer on the board. Right?
I remember during the peak of tail end of the Giants winning titles, you could go as far as like 2016 when they were still a quality team. Warriors were obviously very, very good at that point. Niners were not good at that point. But I remember my frustration during like the peak of Bay Area sports, like 2014-ish, probably 2015-ish. It was, man, no matter what happens, all three of these teams can't be great at once. We never had a year where they were all great at once. And now it's, oh, they're all average at best.
They're all average, but it feels sort of momentary.
Yes.
I would
the
argue,
Niners are like much closer to anything than the other two.
Yeah, I think that a calm thinking 49er fan is not like overly freaking out by any stretch. They're still doing their thing, and there's a avenue there for them to be very, very good next year. I don't know if they will be, but that avenue exists. The San Francisco Giants feel like that's the team that has the most rational anger for a fan. Like, to me, that's the team where a fan can legitimately be like, y'all, what are you doing? Now, the Dodger thing is not necessarily the Giants' fault. It's actually not. It's not the Giants' fault at all. I think you could ask why the Giants haven't done more of the same. Why aren't they doing some of the things the Dodgers are doing? So this whole, like, they let the Dodgers do this. Well, they didn't let the Dodgers do it. I mean, baseball let the Dodgers do it. And then the Dodgers did it. So the question for the other teams is, why aren't you also?
The Dodgers add to my frustration, but in terms of my frustration for the Giants, it has nothing to do with the Dodgers.
Oh, let's explore that in a second. But you agree with me that of the three teams, that should have the most uncomfortable fan base.
Yeah.
Of the three. The Warriors is the one for me. I'll just be straight real with y'all. I do not get your anger. I don't even understand
it. Yeah, you're good with an average basketball team,
No,
huh?
I'm not. I'm understanding that there was no way around this. There's no way around this. But to me, the order of anger is Giants, Niners, Warriors. That's the order of anger. The Giants, there are real questions with the way that everything's been constructed, with what's happened currently with the farm system, which is suddenly cratered down to a guy. His name is Bryce. That's it. He's the farm
Save
system.
Us.
Right?
You're our only hope.
Boy, you want to talk about an uncomfortable situation where you're like, okay, buddy, you're it, and you're 20. Hi, take over the organization. Good Lord, that's not the way to do it. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have 17 players literally that they're counting on that they just signed within the last 3 weeks. So that's number one. Number two is the Niners, because it was just so, whether you understand it, whether you give it a pass, like, my God, what an incredibly disappointing season. It to the point of confusion.
And
I don't understand how they ended up 6-11. That's crazy.
Even on top of that season, it is frustration to the level of, you have been so close so many times.
Right. Tantalizingly
through.
Yes.
Like, honestly, the 6-11 season is what it is, and it was frustrating, and it was terrible, and the experience was horrible, and it was not fun for almost any moment, not denying that. My Niners' frustration is more so like, you should have at least a Super Bowl by now.
Yes, and I'll add in, especially for those who are your generation and younger.
Never experienced
You've
it.
Never seen the Niners win a Super Bowl. You've recently seen the other two win a lot. The Warriors is the one where I look at it and I don't want to be flippant about it, but what the hell did y'all think was going to happen? Like, I don't know. Do you watch the NBA? You go through a period of dominance, then you stop. That's it. End of the book. It's got two chapters. It happened and it stopped. That's it.
They had a unique opportunity that not many dynasties have.
Did they?
Yes.
How?
They had a number two overall draft pick.
Correct. But
not many dynasties have that opportunity.
Okay. It's a fair point. But even if they nail that pick, I don't think they're suddenly sitting here in the two seed right now. Like, that's a pick. Like, to just look at it and be like, it's a pick, so make another dynasty out of it. or even make a champion out of it. Like, come on.
Yeah, you're asking to follow up incredible drafting with another. But, like, that is, I think, where some of the frustration begins. And you had a unique opportunity to add on and to extend. And to be fair, they still won in 2022. But that draft pick had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Correct.
And I'm with you. Like, in terms of frustration, the Warriors are third on my list as well. But you said earlier it's no one's fault individually, and I think some people would disagree with you. I know where you're coming from. It does not mean that there have been decisions that were not correct.
Of course not.
Or that there are not people without fault entirely.
I don't ever think that's the case. Like, I don't know about you or how anyone else. I show up to the event thinking that there's going to be some misses here.
Yeah,
you're going to mess up a draft pick here and there. You're going to have a signing that doesn't work out. You know, like, you're going to get Devondre Campbell, and you're going to be like, hey, that guy's done some good things in this league. Oh, my God. You did what?
You're going to sign Javon Hargrave to the richest contract in that free agency cycle.
You are going to mess up. Bill Belichick messed up. Bill Parcells messed up. Bill Walsh messed up. Everyone named Bill and everyone not named Bill.
You're going to trade DeForest Buckner and pick Javon Kinlaw.
Right. I think I'd be done getting people named Javon to be defensive line, but that's me, right? You're going to draft a kicker in the third round and then keep telling us that he's going to be good. Whatever. You're going to mess up. The idea is to not mess up constantly or consistently, or at least mix in a bunch of wins too. I mean, we can go through all the draft picks in the Steph, Clay, and Dre era, and we've all forgotten them because we don't care. But, like, there were a bunch of misses in there, too.
Yeah, and the difference between, say, the Giants and the Warriors is, you know, Warriors last 2.5 years-ish have been a 500 team, a little better. Last year they were over 500. This year they're 500. Giants for, like, the last 3 years have been painfully average, right around 500.
Well, and the Giants, I'll add to that, which is that the Warriors, even when frustrating and not exactly where you want them to be, has been a very entertaining product.
Yes.
The Giants have turned their back on entertainment in the Farhan Zaidi era.
And the difference between the Giants 500 and the Warriors 500 is the Warriors 500, as you just said, comes off the heel of four championships led by a group that is still in the building, which has earned at least a little bit of leeway from fans, you would think. Meanwhile, no one in that Giants front office currently has earned, and no one in the front office last year either, earned any sort of leeway, because that group didn't really accomplish much besides 107 wins and not winning a playoff series.
I've jotted down a line that encompasses, I think, the number one criticism that I hear for each of the three teams. And the question will be fair or unfair. Okay? Let me throw these at you.
So I'm saying fair or unfair?
Right, as are all of you. Okay. You can tweet, you can text, 888-957-9570. The number one sort of like controversial narrative that I hear about these three teams as we go through these struggles, okay? The one for the Golden State Warriors, which got mentioned about a half hour ago, is Steve Kerr hates young people. Is this a fair or an unfair narrative?
I would say unfair, but there's a lot of missing context. Steve Kerr doesn't hate young people because they're young people. He tends to avoid playing young people because generally young people aren't ready to play the kind of basketball Steve Kerr likes to play.
Okay, so then I would follow up with the question of, is that not fair considering the context of the organization the last handful of years?
Oh, I meant unfair as in that narrative's unfair.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But so by extension, because you're saying it's an unfair narrative, but he does hold young people back.
There is some truth in it, but he doesn't hate young people because they're young people.
Right, but like to me, so we go with that context, yes, you're right. There has been some slow pace to the development of certain players, but to me, I would say for an understandable reason. For an understandable reason. I do not look back on this and go, Steve, you messed up because you this, that, the other with the young players when we go through each given year and think about where you were in that moment. What did the organization want to do in that moment? What did they think was realistic in that moment? So you won a title 3 years ago. The following year after that, did you or did you not still think you were like a contender?
You thought you were a contender.
Okay. You made the conference semifinals to game six. That
was where this conversation began the most.
Agreed.
Because it was Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome.
And Klay Thompson going brick, 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 brick. Okay. So then the conversation starts. And last season unfolds with all of its bumps and bruises and Draymond suspensions. You win actually more games than you did the year before, but you miss the playoffs entirely. Is the thought there in that moment that the franchise should have known that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and still Klay Thompson should have been sort of ushered to the bench a little bit more in favor of development?
I don't think it's ever been Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and the Klay Thompson half of it really only happened last year, as I remember. It was, again, going back 2 years ago when it was Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome playing over Kuminga and Moody. Now, you can have whatever opinion you want of Kuminga and Moody 2 years ago. I don't ever view it as someone else should have been playing over Steph and Draymond and Klay. Maybe Klay a little bit at times last year, but it was never about no more, less Steph and less Draymond and less Klay. It was these others who we don't really know, who haven't proven anything in the NBA, but who are older and played 4 years of college and maybe have some time in the G League instead of our prized young lottery picks.
By the way, quick aside, does anybody want to think about what Ty Jerome is doing now in the NBA?
He's having a hell of a career or a hell of a season with the Cavs. Yeah.
Averaging 11 points a game, 3.5 assists per game, 1.2 steals per game.
I think went off for like 30 the other day.
He is a true rotational piece on a phenomenal team.
Yeah.
So anyway, you throw that in
there. Anthony Lamb out of the league.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And then there's this year where I would argue that while I still hear people going, dude, play the young people, I'm like, he is.
More so lately.
Yeah. He is.
Kuminga was 20 minutes one night, 15 the other, 22, and then back to 13. And
right, and I still do, like, while I understand that, I understand the frustration there. Like, some of that is, over the last few years, some of it's on Jonathan. Like, right? We had, which assistant coach was it who came on? I can't remember. Who was like, Jonathan, when he started scoring at a level of like 18 a night in the NBA, he completely stopped playing defense.
I believe it was Ron Adams.
That's right. It was Ron Adams. He's like, he just stopped. He stopped. We couldn't put him on the floor anymore. So some of it, not all of it, some of it I think is on Jonathan. Here, Jay in Oakland wants to weigh in real quick. Hey, Jay, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, first of all, love the show, as always, and I think you guys are hitting on some great points. I kind of see things differently as far as pecking order of level of disappointment with Bay Area teams. I would say number one is the Warriors, number two is the Niners, and then number three is the Giants.
That's an interesting list. Why?
Well, let me start at number three. Number three, the Giants, I mean, let's keep it real. They're irrelevant, so who cares? Like, it's like the old saying, like, lower your standards so you won't be disappointing. I don't know anyone who has high hopes or standards for the Giants, so how can you really be disappointed with the Giants?
I guess that's kind of the point.
Three.
That's the point for some people, Jay, is that we do want, we want to have expectations of the Giants. We should be able to have expectations for the Giants. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, what have the Giants done in the last 7 years that give you high hopes? I mean, that's just my thought.
Yep.
But number, you know, is because the last 5, 6, 7 years, the 49ers have been loaded. I mean, the roster have been, like, completely loaded, and they've fallen short. So, I mean, obviously that's disappointing. You would think a team that as talented as the Niners have been the last couple years would achieve. I mean, it got to the mountaintop, but they didn't really win at all. So I would say that the 49ers for that reason. And then number one, I would say the Warriors are probably the most disappointing, is because we've seen that this current organization, this current leadership, like brainstorm the architect of the Warriors dynasty. And it's kind of disappointing to, I mean, you look at the Warriors, what direction are they going in, like, for the future? I don't see a clear direction for the Warriors. And I think that's kind of disappointing because we had trust in Lightyear Joey. So, yeah, that's my list.
Jay, thanks. That's really interesting. We can respond to that coming up next. I don't know if they're interested in laying out a direction for the future yet. And maybe you can criticize them for that. I think they're still very much living in the now. Should they be? I don't know. But let's talk that out. Warriors and Thunder tonight. Evan Giddings will be along at 6 for Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity Stream Sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Of the three teams and their current disappointment, what is your list on the most disappointing or where your anger is the most? We'll keep taking your calls on that at 888-957-9570. I'd listen for that sounder real soon on Willard and Dibbs.